ourselves the following. It says, one of the brachos that are promised to us is, it says, v'hisig lechem daishes batzir batzir yisig azara, that the threshing floor should meet the reaping time, and the reaping time should reach the same time when you're planting the seeds. Then it says, v'achaltam lach lechem lasova, you're going to eat your bread with satiation, v'shaptam levatach bartzachem, and you'll sit in surety in your land. So it says, basically, there's going to be an abundance of food, there's going to be a lot of food, you're going to have everything you need, and more than that, meaning you're going to have more than anything you could possibly wants. And then it says, but you're going to eat your bread in satiation. So what does that mean, you're going to eat your bread in satiation? Rashi says, Ocho kima umisbarach b'meyav. You're going to eat a little bit of food, just a tiny little bit, and that'll be enough. You'll feel full after you have that tiny little bit of food. I don't understand. Why do you need that bracha if the food is in abundance? Meaning, if you don't have that much food, right? And then you're given a bracha. Eat a little bit of food and that'll be enough for you. That's a great bracha. So it's a bracha at a time when there's no food around. But if there's a ton of food... If there's a ton of food, then what's the point? So that's exactly the idea. The bracha is the following. The Chassam Sofer and Reb Moshe both said this following. They quote from the Gemara, Ksuvis Kuf Gimel says, the Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, lifted his 10 fingers up to Shemayim and said, I never got benefit. I never got anah from even my smallest little finger. Even my smallest finger, I didn't get any benefit from anything during this world. Now, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, we know, was extremely rich. He had an unbelievable amount of money. But he didn't get anything. He didn't get any enough from anything he did. Even the tiniest little finger, he got nothing. What's the pshat? Because the less you deal with hanaz and olam hazeh, the less you deal with stuff in this world, the better it is for you. The question was asked Rav Chaim. Can I ask you? It's just a crazy question. They asked Rav Chaim, why are you so big? He doesn't eat anything all day long. Rav Chaim. He only has a tiny little bit, and yet he's a bigger guy. They ask Rokhai, why are you so big? So he says, what's the Shiloh? Torah is mitukah midvash. It's sweeter than honey. Torah is sweeter than honey.
You have to get big dome for it.
You gotta get out.
Look at you.
Listen to this. Listen to this. I don't learn. But here's the pshat. It's such an unbelievable line. Mitukah midvash is the idea, says the Reb Moshe. If you fill yourself up with taivas, you fill yourself up with all the good things in this world, you're not going to have any room for Torah. Your whole stomach will be empty, but it will be filled with other things. You won't be able to put Torah inside there. But if you keep it a little bit empty, then you don't eat everything that you want to eat. You leave room a little bit. Then all of a sudden, you'll be able to fill yourself up with Torah and put Torah inside you. You'll get Torah inside your boich. And that's the idea behind it. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is promising us. You'll have a ton of food.
He's busy in a night, dude, when the Rebbe isn't looking.
Yeah, I'm sure. You'll have a ton. Yeah, I'm sure that Rav Chaim's cabinets are full of food.
He's
like
busy,
candy,
you know.
And there's like Reese's peanut butter cups and Oreo cookies. Yeah, that's right.
All these Oreos.
Right, I remember when I went to Rav Chaim last time. Rav Chaim, he asked me, are Oreos really Torah? That's what he really asked me. Of course not, obviously.
Can you tell me a story about, I think it was a high school lover, someone to find. I think he had his behind something.
That was a kofar. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is promising us the following. You can have a lot of everything. You're going to be rich. You can have everything you could possibly want in this world. If you want something, you're going to get it. You're going to have everything you want and more than that. But aside from that, you're also going to have another bracha that you won't need to get benefit from it. You won't eat in excess. You'll be eating just a little bit, and that'll be enough to be able to control your taivas, and you'll be okay. That's number one. Number two, pasuk vav. Here's a strange pasuk. I'm going to put peace in your land. Ushchavtem, you're going to lie down. You will not be afraid. I'm going to get rid of all the evil animals from your ground. No lions left in Eretz Yisrael. A couple leopards. There will be no sword, no war going on in your land. You're not going to have any war going on in your land. So cherev. The measure says, afilu cherev shel shalom. Even the sword of peace. Meaning, even if there's a peaceful army that's going through, they're not trying to fight you. They just want to go through for whatever reason. They want to go from your land to another land. Even they won't pass between you. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know what the Cherev of Shalom is? The Cherev of Shalom is a remez to the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sword that killed the Mitzrayim at Makas Bechoros. The name of that sword is called Yuhach. Yud Vav Hei Chaf. That's the Sofei Tevas of something that I sing every Friday night. Not too many people sing it. Ki malachov yitzav eloch. The malachim that are commanded to take care of you wherever you have, the Sofei Tevas are Yud Vav Hei Chaf. That's supposed to be the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that protects you when you're in the midst of traveling. Says the Gra. The Gra used to tell people when they would leave his house, he would say to them, and they would say, Rebbe, I'm going back. I'm going on my travel. I'm going to my home or whatever it was. He used to say to them, Yochid Varadim, Halacha Karadim. So everybody thought he was just telling you a Dvar Torah. Because you leave with the Dvar Torah and everything, and that was cute. Yochid Varadim, Halacha Karadim is a short Mishnah. It's a very short thing to say. It's a very easy thing to say. So that's what they thought. But that's not what the Gra meant. It says Rechaim Velazhen. Rechaim Velazhen said what he meant was is that Yochid Varadim, Halacha Karadim, the Rosh Hashanah, the first letters are Yud, Vav, Hey, and Chaf. That's the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was trying to use that shame to put it on them. That's what the girl was trying to do in order for them to be protected. That's the pshat behind Vayetze Yaakov. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. I'm sorry? You're supposed to say it in Tzvil Sederach as well. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. Obviously he went. What's the Vayelech? It should be Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva L'Charan. That's what it should be. It should be L'Charan. What's the extra Vav, Yud, Hey, and Chof? The Vav, Yud, Chof of Vayelech, and extra Hey by Charana. What's the extra letters that are doing there? That's the Yuach. That's the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for travel. So that Yaakov, when he's traveling, used that shame. That's the reason why Eliphaz didn't kill him. He was protected from any enemies that were there. Eliphaz, instead of killing him, took away his money instead because the shame of Yuach that was with him the entire time. This is the Mashchas in Mitzrayim. The Rayas from the Magen Avraham. Tuf Ayin Gimel. Sipchof Tess. The Magen Avraham says there are 16 times that we dip from the wine on Pesach night. 16 times for the Esther Makos, and then for the Tzach Adash Biachav, and then for Domba Eish Lissimro Sashem. 16 times. It's Yud Vav Hach, says the Magen Avraham. That's where it comes from the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Yuach. It even makes it into Halacha. That's what it's there. By the way, you say it every single day in davening. You ever notice the difference that sometimes when you read your davening of Berech Aleinu, it says, Visabenu Mituvah. And another Siddurim, it says, V'sabbeinu mituvecha. You ever wonder what the difference is? The difference is, says the Tanya Menagim, it depends on where you are. If you're sitting in your place and you're just standing around, you're not traveling anywhere, you should say mituvah. The reason why is because it says, V'sein brach bracha, al penei, last letter is a yud, ho'adama is a hey, V'sabbeinu is a vav, mituvah is a hey. So it's yud, hey, vav, and hey. That's the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that should be with you at all times when you're not traveling. But if you're traveling, you should say V'sabeinu mituvecha. So that it's Yud Vav Hey Chof. It's Yud Hey Vav Chof. But it's the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu used for traveling. So if you're on your way somewhere, if you're going somewhere, out of town or whatever it is, then right before you leave, or right while you're leaving, you should say V'sabeinu mituvecha. If you're not traveling every day normally, say V'sabeinu mituvah. That's where it all comes from. It comes from this shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the cherub that you won't need in your land. You'll never need to use the shame of Yuach. You'll never have that shame come up to you. You'll never have it anywhere near you. That's the idea that no enemies will come near you, and there's a remez that we have during Sphira. During Sphira, it's also split up in some way, shape, or form. That if you go from the 16th of Nisan until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, there are 16 days altogether. If you go after Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Lag BaOmer, it's also 16 days. And if you go from after Lag BaOmer until Shavuos, it's also 16 days. Now granted, it's only 48. If you count up 16 times 3, it's 48. So you wouldn't be including those days that are in between Lag BaOmer and Rosh Chodesh Iyar. You wouldn't include those days. But if you do that all together, what ends up being is that you're getting the Yud Vav. You're getting that Yud Vav, that protection that we started on Pesach, the night of Pesach. When you dip 16 times, you're using that shame of Yuach, that in the summer, when people are traveling a lot more than they did in the winter, wherever they were, when people are traveling a lot more, we're going to be protected wherever we go. When you go on vacation, when you go this place or that place or the other, it doesn't make a difference. Wherever you go, you're going to have the shame of Yud Vav Heichav, that Yuach, that's with you wherever you go. And that's what it means by Charev Lo Sabor Bar Tzachan. The bracha is, you'll never need to use Yuach. You'll never need to use that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll be protected automatically without anything. Now, Ramosha brings down another question. This question is asked by a lot of Achronim. It's not asked by the Rishonim. It's an obvious question. Benasati Mishkani V'Sochachan. I'm going to give you a Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to place my Mishkan among you. Listen to this. V'lo Sigal Nafshi Eschem. And I won't despise you. I mean, that's not much of a bracha. I'm not going to despise you? Where's the bracha in that? Of course. I mean, I would hope if we're getting everything good and God is giving us everything we need, then of course He's not going to despise us.
What are you going to
despise? Sigal, the Russian of Gaal. What? I don't know what the word is. The way that they translate it is, like, for example, at the very end of the Parsha. At the very end of the Parsha, it says, yes, disgusting. 100%. Here, lo ma'astim, I do not despise you. Lo ge'altim, lechalosam. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. So that's implicit mem dalet. 100%. And that Rashi brings down another answer to the question. He doesn't ask, he doesn't say regarding this issue, why would it say that way? Especially when even in the curses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo ge'altim, I'm not going to despise you. He's not going to despise us in the brachos. He's not going to despise us in the curses. So what the world kind of a bracha is this? What's the bracha of, I'm going to build you a Beis HaMikdash and I'm not going to despise you? I would hope not. I really would hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to despise us in any way, shape, or form. What is this bracha? So Ramosha says, Ramosha finds who says, person decides, well, it's more, why don't you deserve it is really his question. Why didn't you deserve it for that to happen? Person decides to dedicate his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He wants to take on chumras, or he wants to be makdish himself and things that are mutter. Now, he's at a high level at that point, and there are high expectations for such a person. If you see a Hasidish guy wearing, you know, with the full pious, with the bekesha, with the sham, with everything, doing something that's wrong, you think lower of that guy than of somebody who's not wearing a kippah at all. Guy's not wearing a kippah at all. I didn't really expect him to do that. You see a guy with a full Hasidish garb doing that, then it's already a shocker. That's why what you just told him, I'm not going to repeat what you told me before, Binyamin. But what Binyamin showed us before we started, that idea of what somebody had put onto whatever, somebody had done something disgusting, it was only a shocker because it was a Hasidish guy. If it wasn't a Hasidish guy, it wouldn't have been a shocker. If somebody else would have done that, it wouldn't have been such a shocker. The firmer you are, or the firmer you act in certain ways, the more you are expected to be of a certain type. That's the idea behind it. So therefore, who has those expectations as well in a different form. He doesn't want to despise you. But if you're a faker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates fakers. The chosam, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. Bereishis Bara Elokim is emes. The sofei tevis are emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu seals everything he has with emes. He wants people to be real. Real. If you can't do it on the outside, somebody just asked me today, he's like, I don't understand, isn't it a good thing to eat Kol Yisrael? I said, it's a great thing to eat Kol Yisrael. He said to me, so why are you eating an Nestle Crunch Bar? I said, I'm not there yet. I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to say on the outside I'm ready to be there and that's that. I am absolutely not there yet. I'm not ready to take on for myself the chumrah of Kol Yisrael. Now granted, there are those who hold it's midin. I don't hold that way. I've been through the truths of Ramosha. I've seen that a yirei nefesh keeps Kol Yisrael. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to say to myself, can I stop it for 6 weeks at a time? I can stop it for six weeks at a time. Can I stop it for certain amounts of periods? Show them. Can I stop it for, let's say for Elul? You can stop it for Elul. Stop it for the 3 weeks, stop it for the 3 weeks. I can do those steps. I have no issues with that whatsoever. But stop it, period, and say I'm never going to do it ever again? That's like asking a heroin addict to stop doing heroin for the rest of his life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can have high expectations, but eventually something might happen. It's just that might... Okay, I don't want to be quoted as Reese's Peanut Butter Cups on my heroin. But the fact is that there are certain things that I have no... I don't think I'm ready to do just yet. That's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu starts to despise. If a person puts on a fake front, in which on the outside he looks like he's got all the brachas, he's the biggest tzaddik in the world. The biggest tzaddik. He's the person who builds up the Beis HaMikdash. And he stands in the Beis HaMikdash. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks deep inside him. And he says, that person's not roi. That person's not worthy of being in the Beis HaMikdash. That person's not worthy of serving the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still promises me to will see Gol Nafshi Yitzchak. I'm not going to despise you. I should, because you're a faker. I should, because you're not ready to be here right now. But I won't. I won't. I'm not going to do it. That's the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Even if that comes up, that's the idea. And it's more than that. In B'chukosai Teilechu, at the very beginning, Rashi says, "Tzua melim b'torah." You should work hard when it comes to Torah. Says Rav Moshe, if you don't work hard, God despises you. If you work hard, you can't do it. For whatever reason, I worked really hard to be able to learn today. I worked really hard to get up for Shacharis, and I just couldn't do it. I just didn't do it. I tried my absolute hardest, and I just didn't make it. If that's the situation, if you're just not able to make it, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, absolutely no problem. You have the Amelus is what I care about. But if you don't even try, you don't even try at all, and you just don't do it, or you do it, but you're not putting any effort in because it's just easy for you, because you're a morning person. And you're going around and you're doing everything because you're just that type of a person. That's not a melus. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I promise you I won't despise you. I should. I should, because you're not putting any effort into it. You're not putting any work whatsoever. Even so, I will not allow that. I will not allow myself to be despicable of you. That's the idea behind it.
Sometimes you need to put in an amelus for something. Like, why are they... It almost sounds like you're being punished for... God, a bracha that God gave you, you're able to not that you are a morning person, that Baruch Hashem, I can wake up
no.
It's not hard.
You're right. You're 100% right. I'm not saying that you don't get any reward or you don't get anything for it. If it's not effort, if you don't put in any effort, it just comes automatically. That's where it becomes like, what are you doing? Are you doing it for the right reason or are you doing it for the wrong reason? This is where it says, why don't you work a little, just work a little bit. There's got to be something, even if you're a morning person, you can work a little bit harder on. And that's what he's saying. Do that. Whatever it is that you can work on just a little bit harder, then do it. And that's the concept of it. That's the idea of lo yigati umah. So see, that's the concept of everything. And so too when it comes the other way around, for the people at the very end, even the people that are getting all the curses in the world, where everything's going badly and everything's going terribly, and you just can't make anything go, still, a Kaddish Baruch Hu promises lo galta. I'm not going to despise you. Again, you're cursed. There's bad things going on. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't worry. Lo galta. I'm not going to despise you. On different levels. Very, very different levels. Different levels for somebody who considers himself very, very chashuv, and a person who considers himself, look, I'm not that chashuv yet. You have different levels. And in both levels, the Kaddish Baruch Hu says there will never come a point where God says to any Jew, galta, I despise you. I don't want to have to deal with you. That's the concept, says Rav Moshe. There are other people that do the following, and it's an obvious thing also. People do mitzvos, simply put, because they feel like they have to. Not because they want to. They feel like they have to. There's schar given in that case. You still get rewarded if you do mitzvahs because you have to. You feel like somebody's forcing you to do it. Your parent or your spouse throws you out of bed and says, go, whatever it is. You still have that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the reward as if he's paying back a debt. Like, all right, fine, I got to pay you back $100. Here's the $100. That's all Kaddish Baruch Hu gives it to you. You want the Kaddish Baruch Hu to want to give you reward. You want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to be like, wow, that person, he deserves such a reward. That's what you wanted. It's almost like a bad cleaning lady that you can't fire because she's a relative of some sort. You just can't fire her. She comes in and you're just dreading the point where she comes. Because you know she's a horrible cleaning lady. You know she's like, she's not doing what you want. And granted, she's doing a little bit, but she's not doing what you want to do. And because of that, you despise seeing such a person. It's that concept of cleaning, of something happening that you just don't want. That's how Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at it. And he says, Lamali Rosif Chaychem Yom Rasha in the Pesukim Yeshaya. Why do I want your Karbanos? If you're just going to do it because you think I want them, I don't want your Karbanos. I don't want to see them. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to do it because you want to do it. That's you feel like you have to do it because you're being forced to do it because somebody is saying something to you. Do it because you want to do it. And if you can't figure out a way why you want to do it, then work on it. Do something about it. Say to yourself, why should I want to do it? Why is there something to do over here? Get yourself to have that desire, that drive, and push yourself, and then you'll be able to get something.
How does that connect with
it doesn't, yeah. That only applies for this board. It does not answer what it would be like in the Klalos. Remotion cannot answer for the Klalos.
Well, for the cloth, it makes it self-evident because you're doing really bad, but God will still won't despise you, no matter how.
Okay,
you are.
Then that's how I understood it in of itself. So it'll apply for the brachos.
No, but for the brachos,
even though you're doing the mitzvos.
Right.
Even though you're doing the mitzvos. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I will despise you if you do it for the wrong reasons. If you do it in the way that I want you to do it, then lo ga'altin. Lo sigal nafshiyas chan. That's when a Kaddish Baruch Hu says,
so you'll only be despised if you do the mitzvos, but for the wrong reasons, but
yes.
You'll never be despised if you do a veros.
No, the Averus is still going to be, yeah, that's where the concept would come up. Rav Moshe did not answer that. I hear you. That's a problem. Meaning the last part of Lo Galtim is not answered by this four. That's just the word that he gives in the very beginning, and he doesn't answer, he doesn't bring up the Lo Galtim, and he doesn't bring up anything like that. It was in two different parts of the Drush Moshe. That's the only reason why. But that first part, that second part is not going to be able to be answered. You know the Ramban in this week's Parsha, that you shouldn't go to a doctor? You ever seen the Ramban? It's a crazy Ramban. It's on this part. It's on this puzzle. Lo sigal nafshi yeschem. So the Ramban says, it's the bracha. When Bnei Yisrael are shleimim, when they're perfect, and they're deserving of the brachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're supposed to get the brachas, there is nothing in nature that will affect them or their land, all of Bnei Yisrael or the individuals. All their food and their parnasa, their money that they'll make, will all be blessed. There's going to be no sicknesses to the point where they won't need to go to any doctors, says the Ramban. You won't need to go to any doctors at all, and you shouldn't go to any doctors, he says. You shouldn't go to any doctors. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. Because I am Hashem, and I will heal you. Says the Ramban, when you're in the level of Baruch, where you're blessed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't go to doctors. It's not the right thing to do. Says the Ramban, in the times of the prophets, when there were Nevi'im around, nobody went to doctors at all. They went straight to the Nevi'im. As it says, it's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, by Asa the king. It says, Gam Becholyo, even in his sickness, Lo Dorishes Hashem, Kiim Barofim. He didn't go to Hashem. He went to the doctors. It was a punishment for Asa. Why wouldn't Asa go to the Nevi'im, to Yeshaya, to those people around, instead of going to the doctors? Because Rofim, says the Ramban, have no place, and remember, he himself was a doctor, have no place if everybody is doing Ratzon Hashem. If you're doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't go. But because we started going to doctors, and we started thinking that it's just been Mikra, it's just, oh, we just happened to get sick, and now we want to heal ourselves. Therefore, Hashem treated us this way that we get healed through doctors. Really, doctors don't work at all. That's why it says, Rapo Yirape. It's reshus for a rofe, for a doctor to heal you. But there's no reshus, says the Ramban, for you to go to a doctor. There's a reshus for a doctor. If someone comes to him, he could heal you. But you can't go to the doctor itself. That's what he says. And if you're from Me'adas Hashem Shechokim B'chaim, if you're part of the Edah of Hashem, whose portion is in life, then no doctor can be sought after. That's what the Ramban says. It's a crazy level of bitachon. Never to go to any doctors. However, there's other things altogether. He has a lot of rayas. He proves from Chizkiah that Chizkiah, his rayas from Chizkiah to Chizkiah, instead of going to a doctor, he called in Yeshaya, and he told Yeshaya, what should I do? And Yeshaya said, well, you didn't get married, and because he didn't get married, he didn't have any kids, and that's the reason why you're going to die. So he brings a raya from there.
Well, I mean,
he brings
other... There's a Navi, then you go to the Navi.
There's a Navi for sure, right? There's no Navi, what do you do? What do you do? 100%. It seems that way. But the Marshan Gittin has... He bombs out the Ramban. Everybody... says something on that Ramban. But the Marshan Gittin Samach Tasim Abayz asks, if that's true, if it's all about not going to doctors, then why in the world would the Gemara have so many dafim written on the refuos, these weird refuos? If you have a headache, you take a chicken, you split it open, you put it on top of your head, you shave off the front part of your head, and then you dip yourself in water. What in the world is going on there? You're not supposed to go to doctors, you're just supposed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why would the Gemara waste well over 8 blot of Gemara in different places to be able to do it? So the Ramban says there is no shavuos. There is no shabbos. It's only bitachon. Oh, so that's the pshat. So it says the Marshal, it must be that the Ramban is talking about a person who is so unbelievably great, that you're beyond anything in this world, you're beyond Teva, you're beyond the nature of this world, and you can only talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. But he says, by the way, that Gemara, who's Gemara?
They're open at permission to heal, according to the Ramban. So the Gemara,
they still have the abilities for the rope. That's the Marshal. The Marshal says an unbelievable thing. He says the Gemaras were given over not to the Hamonei Am. People didn't know Gemaras. They didn't know what the Gemaras were. Not until our school came along did anybody read a Gemara that wasn't in Yeshiva. I mean, who in the world was doing Gemaras when they had time to learn? Nobody did it before our school came along. Because they had no way of translating it. They had no idea what was going on in there. Unless they were learned and they'd already been in Yeshiva and they were doing things in Yeshiva. But then it started to become translated. Other people went ahead and they did it. But back then, the only people who knew Gemaras were the great Talmidei Chachamim. The great Talmidei Chachamim should know the refuas. Because they'll know when to use it and when not to use it. Those people who learned the Gemaras, who were sitting there and spending time learning Misha Aksel Kardaikis, the seventh parak of Gittin, or were doing the Prakim and Shabbos that deal with all the refuos, those people were there, they'll be able to use it. They should be able to still have that bitachon. But nowadays, however, it's not shayach to us. Because we wouldn't have any shayachas to any of that. We spoke about this before. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the only part of the Gemara that works for us today, you remember it? Bola bola nochis chad, chad nochis bola bola nochis chad chad. Yeah, you take the chicken bone, you put it on the guy's throat. Rabbi Kiva Eger, he brings it down.
All of them.
It's the only one that works. He said why? He said because it was tested and proven to work. And I said that Rabbi Yitzhak Krohn has two stories about it. Two stories about people doing that.
Why the
person was choking. He said you're not allowed to check all the other ones.
Well, why
this one worked. I don't know if it was allowed or it just happened and they knew it worked. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's basically it. Rabbi Kiva Eger says the only one that's allowed is this one. That's the only one. If you have a chicken bone stuck in your throat, take a chicken bone, put it on the guy's throat, or on the head, it says, and chad chad nochis bala bala nochis chad chad. And it'll automatically go down, or it'll be spit out immediately. That's what he says. The Achronim all argue in the Ramban also. There's a Chassam Sofer in Yoredeya Simin Nun Beis, Birki Yosef and Shin Lamed Vav, Tzitzel Yezra and Chilik Yud Zayin. They all say you have to go to doctors nowadays. There's no question. Chofetz Chaim, very good. In Shar B'Tachon Chilik Dalet. He also brings a Perek Dalet, I'm sorry, altogether. He says it's usher to be Somech Al Anes because, number one, it takes away from your Zchuyos. And number two, because previous Doros did not hold to this Ramban. It's clear that previous generations all went to doctors. I mean, it's obvious that they all went there.
When are you doing that? When you have a base of Mikdash, that's when you're on a higher.
That's the idea. When everybody is right there, that's 100% the idea.
When you're at that level, I'm going to put a base of Mikdash, then you'll be aware for that.
But listen to this, Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky takes the Ramban and says, everybody thinks the Ramban is such a machmer. He's such a crazy guy. Like the Ramban is telling you, you can't go to doctors, you can't go to doctors. But you realize there's a kula that comes from not going to doctors. Here's what he says. The Chovas Halevavos says 100% you have to try to be healed al pi derech teva. You have to try to be healed al pi derech teva. But if not, then you just have to have bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to daven. You have to go to the doctors and you daven on the side. Says Rabbi Yaakov, if you look carefully into the Chovas Halevavos and you look carefully at the Ramban, there's another part of this that comes into play. Let's say a guy has a business and he's not being matzliach in his business. He's not being successful. He's got a business going and it's just not working. According to the Ramban, if you're the greatest tzaddik in the world, then you can just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me, and that's it. You can't do anything else. But if you're not the greatest tzaddik in the world, switch jobs. Get rid of it. Do something else. Says the Ramban, it's only for the greatest tzaddikim that have that pitachon, but normal people don't have to have that. But according to Chovas Halevavos, it's the same level for everybody. You have to have siyata d'shmaya, and unless something crazy happens, you have to stay with what you got. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, according to Chovas Halevavos, if you have a job that's not going well, all you can do is daven. You can't switch jobs. You have to stay where you are. You have to keep working on yourself in that way. Because the level of bitachon, according to the Chovas Halevavos, is you have to have bitachon with your ishtadlus. But you can't switch that type of ishtadlus until you exhaust your possibilities of asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's what comes out the opposite way if you look at it more of a perspective of how does a Kadosh Baruch Hu treat us in this world, and is it equal to Talmid Chachamim and regular people alike, or is it different from the Talmid Chachamim and regular people? That's a crazy chumrah that comes out according to the Chovas Halevavos. I can tell you guys a medrash. You for sure have heard this medrash before, but it's out there. Yosef and Shimon. Remember when Yosef HaTzadik was king of Mitzrayim, and he saw the Shvatim come in? Binyamin wasn't there. He wanted to get Binyamin back. Obviously, he put on his mask. He pretended like he was Safnas Panach, and he had no idea who they were. Right? And he threw the brothers in jail, brought them back out of jail, and he said to them, one of you should stay here, one of you will go to jail, and the others go back and go get Binyamin. So he chose Shimon. He chose Shimon and threw Shimon in jail. The Medrash brings down, it's brought down in the Seder Adoros, the Sefer Yashar and the Yalkut Shimoni, that when Yosef wanted to throw Shimon into jail, Shimon said, who's going to bring me into jail? Shimon was a very, very strong guy. Remember, Shimon destroyed all of Shechem. So Yosef HaTzadik sent for 70 Giborim from the palace of Paro. 70 of the strongest men from Paro's palace. 70 of the greatest men. I'm sorry? No, that was later. That was Yehuda. That was the next one. Who came near Shimon. All the 70 men came right near Shimon. Shimon screamed out loud. He yelled out loud. And they all fell down in front of him. And they broke their teeth. That's the Lashon of the Medrash. Their teeth broke. They fell down to the ground. Then Menashe went up to Yosef and said, I can take care of him. Menashe at the time is at most 8 years old. Menashe goes up and says, I can take care of him. Menashe went up to him, hit him once in the head, and Shimon immediately was able to calm himself down, and Menashe put the chains over him and let him into jail. 8-year-old kid, at the most, he might have been six. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Shimon looked at Menashe, and he said, Shobes Abahu. He has to be from my father's house. Couldn't figure it out yet. Didn't realize there was Menashe, the son of Yosef HaTzadik, who was down there in Mitzrayim. But he said, this guy has to be a Jew. Because no one else would have been able to take care of me like that and throw me into jail. Says Rav Yashiv, such an unbelievable oath. He says that's a sign for all future generations. The other nations of the world can never knock us down with their koach. They could have the 70 Giborim representing the 70 nations of the world. That's why it's specifically 70 Giborim that come up against Shimon. Even Shimon who's known as being the Baal Avera. Chas v'shalom to say that about one of the Shvatim. But Shimon, who did terrible things in the Midbar, who did some things that were questionable by Yosef HaTzadik, Shimon, the one who is considered the most hot-headed of all the Shvatim, Shimon, even he could not be taken down by the 70 people, by the 70 nations of the world. Even those people. Why? Because even Shimon is the Kol HaTzfila. He's able to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He screams out loud. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. And immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and there is absolutely nothing that anybody else can do. There is nothing that can happen. It automatically happens. That's the concept of how strong our Kol of the Tzfila is. But if the nations add on to their ranks, some of our own if they take Jewish people and add them onto their ranks, like a Menasha. Do you know why Menasha was called Menasha? What is Menasha for? Kinashani Elohim is Kolam Ali. Because God made me forget everything that I toiled, everything that I worked for. Because if you forget everything that Judaism stands for, if you forget everything that Judaism has, your mom is just a rush, a gummer, a person that has nothing, nothing in his back pocket, you don't care anything for Judaism. And you go to the other side, and you help them out. And you say, I was with them. I know what they do. I know what they do on Rosh Hashanah. I know what they do on Yom Kippur. I know what they do on Pesach. The people that went up to the non-Jews and said, oh, the Jews, they hide their wine on Pesach. Let's pretend like it's blood. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do the other. Anybody that goes ahead and does that, that's the Menashe. Menashe has a koach mi beis Abba. Even Menashe, when he turns to the other side, he has a koach. That type of a Jew can destroy other Jews. It's not a Pella. That there's always some type of a connection between all these huge enemies of the Jews and the Jews themselves. There's always a connection. Nebuchadnezzar, when he came up against Bnei Israel, Nebuchadnezzar had, I don't know what it was, Nebuos. He had Ruach HaKodesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a connection between him. Haman, according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, grew up among Jews. He grew up in a neighborhood of Jews. That's how he knew all about their different minhagim. Ahmadinejad, if he's really Jewish, Gaddafi, if he's really Jewish, these types of guys, who knows if they really are, but there's a connection. It's not just Stam. And I'm sure if it would eventually come out, if anybody really knew the history behind Adolf Hitler, Yamach Shemo V'Zichro, it would possibly be found that he had connections with Jews at some point in his life, got messed over, and that's where it came from. Or somehow he had a Jew that he was hiding in his cabinet in somewhere, whatever it was, that there was a Jew there. The koach of a Jew is tremendous, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. That's the pasuk Chav Vav Yud Zayin. The Perek Chav Vav Pasuk Yud Zayin, the curse that's given over to Klal Yisrael, is V'radu V'chem Son Eichem. Your sonin will be amongst you. They're going to rule over you, but it's going to be within you. It's going to be your own enemies, your own people that are jealous of you, that are jealous of the Peninius that certain Jews have. They're the ones who are going to destroy you. It's not going to be the non-Jews. The non-Jews don't have that power. They don't have the koach. It's you that's going to be able to do it. And that's the worst curse of all. That it wasn't them, it was us that destroyed ourselves. How many people do we need to make more Chilul Hashems? Do we need another Jew to get up there and make another Chilul Hashem? It's just crazy. It's just Jews. It's just Jews. That's the concept behind it. The last thing that we're going to end off with is Chav Vav, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Chav Vav Lamed Dalet, the Pasuk says the following. It says, the Oz Tirta Oris is Shapso Seah. When you're kicked out of your land, and the land is destroyed, and there's nothing left, well, don't worry, then the land is going to rest. Sort of like a dig. You didn't keep Shemitah, so therefore your land is going to rest. So everybody asks, what does this have to do with Shemitah? Why are we dealing with Shemitah? We're talking about other things altogether. If people sinned, they did terrible things, but it's no shaykes to Shemitah, and the pshat is the following. There's a connection between Bahar and Bechul Kosei, not just Stam, because they're normally read together. Bahar talks about Shemitah, and then it goes into Yovel, and then afterward it goes into Onan and Karkos, and all these different issues of Bitachon. The purpose of Shemitah is to build you up spiritually. It's to build you up ruchnius-wise, to learn Torah for an entire year, because what else are you going to do? You got a year off from planting. You got a year off from your farmlands. What are you going to do for that whole year? Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, you're going to sit and you're going to learn all day. You're going to sit and you're going to learn in Beis Medrash. That's how Bechukosai starts off in Bechukosai Teilechu. If you do my laws and you keep Shemitah, says Rashi, you're a Melim B'Torah. You sit and you learn Torah all year long. What else are you going to do? That's the concept of Bechukosai coming in. And if you don't learn during that year, if you don't spend that year that you could have spent doing all these things when you were supposed to be learning, when you could have done all that, if you don't do that sort of thing, then you got these problems. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to kick you out of your land, I'm going to take care of you. And it all has shaykes to Shemitah. Because it deals with that seventh year. How are you going to spend your time off? How are you going to spend that extra time that you have during the day? If you do it the right way, then you get the brachos. If you do it the wrong way, then you don't. And it's not about just sitting and learning all day long. It's sitting and learning when you have the chance, the opportunity to be able to sit there and get that one chance. We have that hour off. What do you do during that time? Summary. The bracha of eating only a little bit was a tremendous bracha. Number two, the sword of Shalom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was called Yuach. Number three, Hashem will not ever despise us as long as we work hard. Number four, according to the Ramban, there's no need for refuah. No need to be healed by doctors, and we said it's off by that. Number five, one Jew can destroy an entire nation. Number six, its curses, the curses of that land is only because of Shemitah. only because of Shemitah. The concept of Shemitah, you didn't learn, therefore you ended up getting cursed. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.